It is mathematical astronomy that is opposing our own notions. Photographic astronomy can be construed any way one pleases. Say that the stars are in a revolving shell, about a week's journey away from this Earth. Everything mathematical cited by me, in this Lowell planet controversy, was authoritatively said by somebody one time, and equally authoritatively denied by somebody else, some other time. Anybody who dreams of a mathematician's heaven had better reconsider, if of its angels there be more than one mathematician. 9. I have come upon a story of somebody, in Philadelphia, who, having heard that a strange wild animal was prowling in New Jersey, announced that he had caught it. He exhibited something, as the Jersey Devil. I have to accept that this person was the press agent of a dime museum, and that the creature that he exhibited was a kangaroo, to which he had attached tin wings and green whiskers. But, if better established branches of biology are subject to nature fakery, what can be expected in our newer biology, with all the insecurities of newness? Jersey devils have been reported other times, but, though I should not like to be so dogmatic as to say that there are no Jersey devils, I have had no encouragement investigating them. One of the stories, according to a clipping that was sent to me by Miss F. G. Talman, of Woodbury, NJ, appeared in the Woodbury Daily Times, December 15, 1925. William Hyman, upon his farm, near Woodbury, had been aroused by a disturbance in his chicken coop. He shot and killed a never-before-heard-of animal. I have written to Mr. Hyman, and have no reason to think that there is a Mr. Hyman. I have had an extensive, though one-sided, correspondence, with people who may not be, about things that probably aren't. For the latest account of the Jersey Devil, see the New York Times, August 6, 1930. Remains of a strange animal, teleported to this Earth from Mars or the Moon very likely, or not so likely found on a bank of a stream in Australia. See the Adelaide Observer, September 15, 1883 that Mr. Hood, of Adelaide, had found on a bank of Brungle Creek, a headless trunk of a pig-like animal, with an appendage that curved inward, like the tail of a lobster. New Zealand Times, May 9, 1883 excitement near mastered an unknown creature at large curly hair, short legs, and broad muzzle. Dogs sent after it. One of the dogs flayed by it. Rest of the dogs running away probably with their tails between their legs, but the reporter overlooking this convention. There have been stories of strange animals that have appeared at times of earthquakes and volcanic eruptions. CC Serpent stories, about the time of the Charleston earthquake. About the same time, following a volcanic eruption in New Zealand, there were stories in New Zealand. The volcano Rotomahana was a harsh, black cup that had spilled scenery. Or the somber thing was a Puritan in finery. It had belied its dourness with two broad decorations of siliceous deposits, shelving down to its base, one of them the white terrace and the other the pink terrace. These gay formations sloped from the bare, black crater to another inconsistency, which was a grove of acacias. All around, the famous flowering bushes of this district made more sinful contrast with a gaunt, towering thing. Upon the 10th of June, 1886, this black fanatic slung a constitutional amendment. It was reformation, in the sense that virtue is uniformity that smothers variation. It drabbed its gay terraces, the grove of acacias was a mound of mud, it covered over the flowering bushes with smooth, clean mud. It was a virtuously dismal scene, but, as in all other reformations, a hankering survived in it. A leftover living thing made tracks in the smoothness of mud. In the New Zealand Herald, October 13, 1886, a correspondent writes of having traversed this dull, dead expanse, having seen it marked with the footprints of a living creature. He thought that the marks were a horse's. But there was another story that was attracting attention at this time, and his letter was in allusion to it. Maoris were telling of a wandering animal, unknown to them, that had appeared in this desert of mud. It was a creature with antlers, or a stag, according to descriptions, an animal that had never been seen, or had never before been seen, by Maoris. Just what relation I think I can think of, between volcanic eruptions and mysterious appearances of living things may seem obscure. But I have been impressed with several accounts of astonishing revivifications in regions that were volcanically desolate. Quick growths of plants have been attributed to the fertilizing properties of volcanic dust, nevertheless writers have expressed astonishment. If we can have an organic view of our existence, we can think of restorative teleportations to a place of desolation, quite as we think of restorations occurring in places of injury in an animal organism. There are phenomena upon the borderline between the organic and the inorganic that we can think of, such as restorations of the forms of broken crystals in a solution. It is by automatic purpose, or design, or providence, or guidance by which lost parts of a starfish are regenerated. In higher animal organisms, distinct structures, if lost, mostly are not restored, but injured tissues are. Still, even in the higher organisms, there are some restorations of mutilated parts, such as renewals of forms of a bird's clipped wing feathers. The tails of some lizards, if broken off, renew. For a conventional explanation of reviving plants in a fern forest that had been destroyed by flows of liquid lava, from the volcano Kilauea, Hawaii, see an account, by Dr. G. R. Wieland, in Science, April 11, 1930. Dr. Wieland considers his own explanation amazing. I'd not say that ours is more than that. Strange animals have appeared and they may have been teleported to this earth from other parts of an existence, but the easiest way of accounting for strange animals is to say that they are hybrids. Of course I could handle, or manhandle, this subject any way to suit me, and be about as reasonable one way as another. I could quote many authorities against the occurrence of bizarre hybrids, leaving hard to explain, in terms of terrestrial origin, strange creatures that have appeared upon this earth. There are biologists who will not admit fertility between creatures as much alike as hares and rabbits. Nevertheless, I think that there have been strange hybrids. The cow that gave birth to two lambs and a calf. I don't know how that will strike all minds, but to the mind of a standardized biologist, I'd not be much more preposterous, if I should tell of an elephant that had produced two bicycles and a baby elephant. The story is told in the Toronto Globe, May 25, 1889. It is said that a member of the staff of the Globe had been sent to investigate this outrage upon conventional obstetrics. The reporter went to the farm of Mr. John H. Carter, at South Simcoe, and then wrote that he had seen the two lambs, which were larger and coarser than ordinary, or less romantically derived, lambs, having upon their breasts tufts of hair like calves' hair. Other newspapers, Quebec Daily Mercury, for instance, published other details, such as statements by well-known stock breeders that they had examined the lambs, and were compelled to accept the story of their origin. So I am harming our idea that creatures, unlike anything known upon this earth, but that have appeared upon this earth, may have been teleported from Mars or the Moon, but I am supporting our general principle that, whether in biology, astronomy, obstetrics, or any other field of research, everything that is, also isn't, and that everywhere there are data, partly sense and partly nonsense, that oppose established nonsense that has partly some sense to it. It does not matter what scientific dictum may be brought against us. I will engage to find that it is only an approximation, or that it is a workout only in imaginary conditions. The most rigorous science is frosted childishness. Every severe, or chaste, treatise upon mechanics is only a fairy story of frictionless and non-extensible characters that interact up to the happy ending. Nowadays, a scenario writer will sometimes tone down the absolute happiness of a conclusion, with just a suggestion that there is a little trouble in the offing, but the tellers of theorems represent about the quality of intellect in the most primitive times of Hollywood. For everything that is supposed to be so well known that it is proverbial, there are exceptions. A mule is a symbol of sterility. For instances of fertility in mules, look over indexes of the field. As to anything else that we're taking as absolute truth, look it up. One afternoon, in October, 1878, Mr. Davy, a naturalist, who was employed at the London Aquarium, took a stroll with a new animal. I think of a prayer that is said to have been uttered by King Louis XIV. He was tired of lamb chops and beef and bacon. Oh, God, send me a new animal. Mr. Davy took a stroll with one. People far away were attracted by such screeches as are seldom heard in London. Some ex-slaves, who were playing in Uncle Tom's cabin, were following the new animal, and were letting loose their excitability. The creature was about 2 feet long, and 2 feet high, and was formed like nothing known to anatomists anyway to anatomists of this earth. It was covered with wiry hair, head like a boar's, and curly tail like a boar's. It was described as a living cube. As if with abdomen missing, its hind legs were close to its forelegs. If Mr. Davies' intention had been to attract attention, he was succeeding. Almost anybody with the modern view of things will think what a pity he wasn't advertising something. The crowd jammed around so that he ran into an underground railway station. Here there was an uproar. He was compelled to ride in the brake, because of a fear that there would be a panic among the passengers. At the aquarium, Davy told that an acquaintance of his, named Lehman, had seen this creature with some peasants, in the south of France, and had bought it, but, unable to speak the patois of the district, had been unable to learn anything of its origin. At the aquarium, the only explanation that could be thought of was that it was a dog-boar hybrid.